Vidius Fatabello off the Boston Celtics.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNS Radio.
Vidius Fatabello off the Boston Celtics, and you are listening now to CLNS Radio. Vidius Fatabello of the Boston Celtics, and you are listening now to CLNS Radio.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
It was a fun night out there in Salt Lake City, Utah for the Celtics. Unfortunately, overshadowed by a very, very terrible breaking news story out of Brazil. That's right. If you haven't heard already, the terrible news we all got right before game time tonight between the Celtics and the Jazz was that Fab Melo, former Celtics first-round pick and, of course, former Syracuse Orange man, standout at Syracuse, really. I mean, he really built up his stock in Syracuse before running into some academic issues that, you know, put Syracuse in some turmoil. Celtics drafted him. Wasn't the smoothest road for his Celtics career either, but at just 26 years old, he was still fighting to continue his basketball career in Brazil. Apparently, his mom called up to his room, wasn't conscious, and he was declared dead a short time later. So for all of CLNS Radio, for all Celtics fans everywhere, a lot of great shout-outs to Fab Melo tonight, and hopefully he'll rest in peace. Just awful, awful news out of Brazil, and we had to get that out of the way before we get going here on the show. And on the basketball end tonight, solid win for the Celtics tonight. Solid. I would have called it a fantastic win. Would have called it one of their best wins of the game if it wasn't for that fourth quarter. That fourth quarter was a complete debacle. You could say the Celtics had room to fall asleep at the wheel a little bit there over the final few minutes, but the final score tonight out of Utah is 112-104 for the Celtics in a game they led by almost 20 at one point. It was utter domination for three quarters. Hand the Celtics big credit for being in control for four quarters, but they almost let it slip out of their hands to begin the fourth quarter. I'm Bobby Manning. Got to introduce myself here in the driver's seat for the first time on the Celtics post-game show. Host the Bobcast here at CLNS Radio. You've heard me in the B chair before, but this is my very first night gang cruising here. We're with my co-host, Calvin Chamberlain. We'll bring him in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about ZipRecruiter. Fantastic for you to make use of in this new year. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. So in 2017, posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job at every single top job site. You got to have your position everywhere. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017 by posting to 200-plus job sites. Your job's going to be everywhere with ZipRecruiter. You'll be across social media networks like Facebook and Twitter. All you need to do is just make one single click, and you can find candidates in pretty much every city, industry, or nationwide. All you got to do is just post once, and your qualified candidates are just going to cruise in like winds for the Celtics. So find out what that's all about today at ZipRecruiter, and it's used by over 1 million businesses. Not 1 billion businesses, but 1 million, which is still pretty good. So right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. And one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Hopefully you got that. And hopefully my co-host is here, Calvin Chamberlain. Good to be rolling with him. How you doing tonight, Calvin?
I am indeed here. I'm doing pretty good, not as well as the Celtics are doing after tonight's big win. I don't agree with you that, yeah, I don't agree with you that the fourth quarter was that big of a deal. I mean, they were in cruise control pretty much all of that game. Yeah, the Jazz sort of went into that mode where they, you know, tried to extend the game and cause a lot of fouls. And, yeah, they got some offensive rebounds, and they were hustling, you know, once the game was out of reach already. But at that point, I felt like, you know, on the road in Utah, minus Jay Crowder, minus Avery Bradley, minus Jaylen Brown now for the second half of that game, they were bound to be worn out a little bit. And the way they played, you know, other than that, was pretty much exceptional.
Well, we're talking about the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference now, so I have to nitpick. If we want this team to contend for an Eastern Conference title, we have to nitpick. And for the early part of this game, I thought the defense was just aggressive as hell. And that's what I love to see out of them. Getting in passing lanes, bumping guys, committing smart fouls. They really got in Utah's head early on. And I've said it a lot this year. The Celtics defense is like butter. At any moment, it can seem solid, but just completely melt away. And that's what I thought happened in the fourth quarter. Jazz went on a 20-4 run. Like you said, rebounding just went completely out the window. And I thought the biggest reason the Celtics dominated for 3 quarters was they really keyed in on rebounding. So, you know, not the biggest deal. I'll agree with you there, but it was a big deal nonetheless. Once it gets down to single digits, even with a few minutes remaining, I think that's enough to call it a big deal. But as far as things they did well tonight, what did you like out of their effort the most tonight, Calvin?
The thing that I liked the most, I mean, if we're talking about individuals, I would start with Kelly Olynyk, to be honest with you. I don't know, that might not be your first pick, but if I'm talking bigger picture, I think that the way that the big men all together played, especially defensively, it's interesting to me. It'd be interesting if Utah was in the Eastern Conference, because I think the Celtics match up surprisingly well with them, particularly Gobert. They did a really good job of, you know, for a guy who just leads the league in shot blocking and one of the best rim defenders in the league, they were really doing a good job of focusing on pulling him away from the basket with their bigs, with their perimeter scoring bigs. And on the other end, sort of, you know, guys like Olynyk and also Horford have a hard time sometimes with sort of the heavier bigs of the NBA, the bully ball types, the power game centers. And I don't feel like Utah centers, you know, Gobert and Trey Lyles in particular. Favors is a little bit, but he's more of a mid-range shooter. None of those guys are those type of players, and I just felt like the matchup was to such the Celtics' advantage, because they're gonna run more than Utah, so their bigs have the opportunity to get out and score in transition. And it was like they managed to spread the Jazz out on that end, and on the other end they weren't exhausted, and they did a much better job protecting the rim than they usually do. I've lately been somewhat critical of Horford's interior defense, but I thought he was all over the place tonight, sort of the Horford that we saw, you know, early on in the season that I don't think has consistently shown up over the second half of the season, but he was certainly there tonight.
Offensively, he was there too. 16 points on 6-9 shooting. Everyone had a good shooting night tonight. It was just one of those nights for the Celtics. And I'm glad you brought up Rudy Gobert, because I thought that really was the key factor, not only this game, but the first game where they really beat up on Utah too, which is a testament to their system. Utah is no joke. They're not in the upper echelon of teams in the league, but when you are consistently torching a team who's probably the best defensive team in the league, there's something right about your offensive system. And I think we've known that for a while now with the Celtics. Their offensive system, something special, one of the best in the league. And you hit the nail right on the head there. What they do best and why they continue to torch the best defenses in the NBA is they pull those elite rim protectors way out of the paint. And Rudy Gobert, I did a complete flip on him tonight. If you asked me before tonight who the best defender in the NBA was, I would have said Rudy Gobert. I think he's just a game changer with that length, the way he gets up there and rejects shots and completely takes the paint out of the game. But when you pull him on the perimeter, he's not the same defender. I mean, there were moments again and again where Isaiah Thomas, and bless Isaiah's soul, the way he gets the shots over the 8-foot-long Gobert standing in front of him is just out of this world. There was one play where he's in the paint, pulls right up on Gobert in his face and rose it over him. Not only was rising it over him impressive, but getting the shot in on that. And then there was another play where he was coming off a screen, twisting to the corner, and drilled a three right in Gobert's face again. He is not the same guy out there on the perimeter. I know Anthony Davis would have had a switch like that in his bag, but not Gobert tonight. And they really completely took him out of the game until the last moment. Another point, and it's a point that's been made all week on this show. I've been listening in. I'm an avid listener of the Celtics postgame show, even when I'm not on here. Marcus Smart. My heart stopped a little bit when he went down with that calf cramp early in the game. But, man, has he become a great player. I'm ready to call Marcus Smart a great player.
Wow.
I am ready. And you know why? You know why I'll say that, Calvin?
Why?
He just makes the guys around him better. On a night like tonight, you have no Avery Bradley, no Jay Crowder. That's two of your best three or four players right there. He was getting guys like James Young involved. Kelly Olynyk was shooting the ball at will. Gerald Green had himself a great night. When those guys are on the court with Marcus Smart, he makes them better. And the key note of a good player in the NBA is when you're on the court, you're making the guys around you better. And I don't think the shooting's ever going to come. I just don't believe it. But everything else he does is so methodical, aggressive. He communicates. He plays now almost 40 minutes a game at this point. When he's out there, the Celtics just play better. And plus minus, minus eight tonight, I don't really buy into all that. I go with the eye test when it comes to a guy's effect on the court. And tonight, Smart was making it happen for his teammates again. You're a little hesitant on calling Smart great. How come?
Well, yeah, first of all, just to jump in on the plus-minus thing, I'm actively opposed to using individual plus-minus to evaluate players. We can talk about plus-minus in terms of five-man units if you want. I'm interested in that, but to try to isolate Mark, especially a guy like Marcus Smart, who, his value is, you know, somewhat dependent on what sort of lineup he's playing in, right? Because he guards a certain type of player better than others, for example, and how much is he going to have to handle the ball in various lineups? Like, plus minus has never made sense to me. Sorry for that rant, but anyway, I find it a great player is, he had a great game. Against Portland, and I went out of my way to point out that, you know, the five or six basically amazing plays in a row that took the Celtics from having a 2-point lead to an 8-point lead and basically shut the door on that team. There's no question that Marcus Smart has moments where he transcends, but the difference to call somebody a great player is a player who plays great more often than not. And I don't think you can say that about a guy who's, you know, one of the worst shooters in the NBA and can't really dribble effectively. So I like Marcus Smart, but I think we should probably slow our roll a little bit if we're going to call him a great player.
It is going only off a week or two of work, which I will admit to right there. But these last 2 weeks, and when the Celtics have needed it most with some guys going down, if you look to any player on the team, and now of course we can say Isaiah Thomas and his scoring, and that's what makes the ship sail here in Boston. Without that, we're nothing. But if you're looking at the second guy to say why they've really sustained this stretch, and they're now 7-5 when they're missing two guys in the starting lineup, which is pretty impressive. But the reason they've sustained this stretch without these guys, I think, is a big reason Marcus Smart is showing himself to be a great player, because he's getting guys involved. And the shot's not there, and I'll give that to you. When the shot's not there, it's tough to, you know, respect a guy offensively consistently. You can really leave him out on an island and just, you know, count on him missing. And that's something that's been done to Smart in the past. But he's really, with his passing ability and driving ability and aggressiveness and getting in passing lanes and really starting the transition game, he's found a way to circumvent that shooting issue. And when he's shooting less than 10 shots a game, I don't think he's hurting the team in that department so much. And the other things he brings to the table are helping the team a lot. And it's shown in the results over the last few weeks. So there's my little Marcus Smart rant. Just want to remind you out there listening on CLNS Radio and occasionally New Hampshire Radio, our number to call in tonight is 347-215-771. We want to hear you. It's 12:50 a.m. on the East Coast, but the Celtics won. That's reason to stay up an hour past your bedtime. Call into the show. Join me, Calvin, and our good man, Nikto, behind the boards. Moving on to the next topic tonight, something that has to be hit on, is that bench play. Celtics throttled the Jazz from a bench perspective. It wasn't even close. The impact of Kelly Olynyk, Gerald Green, And out of nowhere, on call, James Young scores 10 points. No one could have guessed that one tonight, but it contributed to the outcome. Calvin, where did that bench effort come from?
Well, obviously the James Young effort came from the fact that he got 15 minutes in that game, which he probably wouldn't have gotten if Jaylen Brown hadn't gotten hurt, right? So, I mean, Gerald Green, look, Gerald Green had a great game in terms of production, so I'm not going to spend too much time crapping on him, but I do have to say that Gerald Green is one of my least favorite players in the NBA to watch, except for those moments where he displays, you know, some form of spectacular athleticism, which he still does on occasion, like he did the other night in Portland. Outside of those plays, he drives me nuts with his just isolation offense. That three he took where he got trapped a mile behind the three-point line, it went in. So again, it's hard for me to be too critical of him because all the shots went in, but it's just ugly basketball for me to watch Gerald Green out on the court. So it's like I almost get frustrated when he does well, because he's like the bad kid who gets rewarded for being bad. That's how I felt about him tonight. It's like he really filled up the box score, except he didn't, because he scored his 16 points but then got all zeros all across the board other than that. But I mean, credit to him for being on, and he's one of those guys who, when he is on, he can put up those kind of numbers. But I don't want to get ahead of myself falling all over and praising Gerald Green, because his shot selection is still terrible. I'd rather focus my energy on praising Kelly Olynyk, who, like I said earlier, again, it wasn't just his offense, which was effective tonight, again, a lot because Utah's bigs don't want to get all the way out to the three-point line. Olynyk has the range, so credit him for that, and he doesn't hesitate to take those shots, and he can get his shot up a lot more quickly than a lot of the other bigs in the NBA who are taking that shot now. He's comfortable with it, his release is quick, and I feel like Utah's big men had a hard time getting out there, and when they put a smaller man on Olynyk, he shot right over the top. So that combined again with the fact that he played excellent defense, I think his defense is hit and miss tonight. I think it has a lot to do with the type of player that, you know, he has to guard. But tonight I thought he was everywhere on that end as well, just making smart plays, smart disciplined plays. And yeah, that's why I thought Olynyk was the best player in the game. I mean, yeah, we could say Isaiah Thomas, and that's fair, but it's almost going to be weird to say this, but I felt like Isaiah's 29 was... Well, maybe it's just because I'm so used to him, you know, being amazing, that it almost felt like a quieter 29 to me. It wasn't his loudest 29.
Well, that's 38 straight games with 20 points. I said it on Twitter. He pretty much clocks in with 20 points coming into the game at this point, it seems like. And he's approaching John Havlicek's Celtics record, 40 straight games. That's the Celtics standard for 20 straight point game. So gang tongue twisters like crazy over here. But Isaiah Thomas, yeah, like you said, 10 points in the fourth quarter, and he really didn't even have to try all that hard, which is a good sign, because you want to get Isaiah some rest where you can, because he's never going to stop rolling when he's out there. He doesn't take any nights off, and you get afraid with the way he plays sometimes, just so relentless that he's going to nick something here or there or hit the ground the wrong way. That's always my concern. But in games like this, where everyone else is rolling so hard, it's awesome to get something like that out of Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter, completely seal it away. Because they're in their worst moments, and it seems like this way every single night with Isaiah Thomas. And Ryan Bernadoni, one of the best Celtics followers on Twitter, said it tonight too. A big reason that Isaiah Thomas gets so much production out of the fourth quarter is because the Celtics always seem to get themselves into trouble in the fourth quarter. I feel like Thomas could have just rode out the rest of the ways the same way he did in the second or third quarter, but in the fourth quarter they got themselves into trouble, and during that 20-6 or 20-4 Utah run there, Thomas was really the only guy putting up any production for the Celtics, so it kind of put him on an island right there.
Well, I find that, in my opinion, a lot of the reason for the production, his production in the fourth quarter, is simply because they do a lot of clear outs for him. They try to create isolation situations for him, where he and you know, credit to him, he has done it all season. But I sort of like what they do with him a little more earlier in the game, where they run a little bit more pick and roll with him. They you know, sometimes get him the off-ball situations where he can hit a three. It's just not that he can't thrive in the isolation game, because he can, taking, you know, basically any player in the NBA off the dribble. But just for him to conserve energy for the playoffs, you know, he is a player like an Allen Iverson type who creates a lot of contact with his offensive game. And, you do. And, you know, factoring in that combined with his size, you do worry about the bump that's going to cause him an injury. So, you know, it's always nice to me in nights like tonight where he doesn't have to do so much in the fourth quarter. There was a little bit less pressure on him tonight, and I think that's what the Celtics, you know, they need to have a few more games where Isaiah doesn't have to be the hero.
And they're going to have those opportunities coming up. Lots of road games coming up for the Celtics, for their next five on the road, even though they're in the middle of a West Coast trip. So they're kind of getting some payback for all those home games they got a couple weeks back. But going forward, Celtics have won 9 of 10. Everything's going awesome right now. And besides the injuries, of course, those are things that just continue to plague them. It's something they haven't been able to get away from all season. So putting those aside, just in a vacuum with what they have right now, Calvin, what are you expecting from the Celtics in terms of needing to improve on? Because they're in that two position right now. They're really setting themselves in that two position. They got about two games on the Wizards, who scare the hell out of me. I'll tell you, that Wizards team will not stop rolling right now. It took a LeBron James miracle three to slow them down in that game. That was just one of the wildest games I've seen all season. Toronto seems to be going in the other direction. They've been fading for 2 months now. So the Celtics are really seeming to settle in on that two spot. Cleveland's coming up at the end of this month. Cleveland's got about three games up on the Celtics. Whether you think they can beat the Cavaliers in the playoffs or not, I think it'd be a reasonable goal to say by the end of the season, let's catch Cleveland, let's try again to that one spot, get the best playoff positioning you can. And that's on them. It's what the Celtics do every night. And whether you think they can beat the Cavs come postseason time or not, it's certainly possible that they can catch them for that one seed. So if they're going to do that, if they want to keep pushing this train forward, what does this team need to do on top of what they're already doing right now to be better?
Well, I've been arguing, I don't know, you said you've been listening to the postgame show, so maybe you already know what my argument is, big picture-wise. I think Ainge needs to make a deal, for the very reason that you're sort of alluding to, which is the fact that I sort of feel like after all these years, you know, of what is perceived as, in the end, to be invulnerability, I feel like the Cavaliers are a team that's a little bit more vulnerable than they were in the past. And I think the Celtics are a better team than they were in the past. I don't think they're quite as good as the Cavaliers yet. I have a hard time in the end thinking that they'll be able to overtake them with a three-game lead, but I think it's possible. But I still think that I still think the Celtics need to make a move or two before the deadline. But barring that, obviously they need to tighten up their defense. That's certainly an issue. But you can make the argument that maybe that happens once they get Bradley back with a Crowder back from his family issues as well, because Bradley's sort of the key to what their perimeter defense is at this point. I have been on Horford for not, being great as a rim protector or, as a rotation player in that situation. So maybe you can make an argument for giving, Amir Johnson a few more minutes than he's been getting lately. I think he's been playing well over the last couple of games, especially early. He seems to run the floor well with the team. I know he was struggling earlier on in the season, and they were reluctant to sort of give him the minutes in. But I think in limited minutes, he's managed to produce, and he seems to be – he's much better defensively on the interior than, almost any guy that they have on the team.
I'm kind of going in that same direction as you are. I think it's going to have to come from a personnel move. I don't think the major personnel move we've all been craving, the big Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins type deal, is going to come this season. Just because I think Ainge is going to be hesitant with that kind of trigger. And I don't think that kind of deal is going to be out there this season. Scanning the NBA for that kind of situation, that perfect situation where everything is just completely capsizing and the door is going to open for that kind of deal, I don't see it happening this year. Chicago is probably about as close as that gets. There's just been complete turmoil right there. But they're close enough to an 8 or a 7 or maybe a 6 seed where they just aren't going to sink that ship this season, I don't think. I think they're going to keep rolling with that Wade, Butler, Rondo complexion for the rest of the season and see where it takes them. Mostly because I think NBA owners, more than anything, would rather see their teams get in the playoffs if they're close enough, get that playoff money, that moolah, and move on and make the moves they need to make from there, because money runs the world, and that's how teams think most of the time. I still remember the Kings were going to trade their whole team for Pau Gasol when he said that he was going to leave last year anyways, just to get that 8 seed. I thought that was insane, but it just takes you inside how NBA owners think a lot of the time. So anyway, getting off that train, what the Celtics probably need to do is find a Band-Aid for their biggest issue this year, which has been rim protection. It continues to be rim protection. It feels like they haven't had a good rim protector since Kendrick Perkins left. The worst trade under Danny Ainge ever, I might add. But they need to find the guy in the mold of Amir Johnson. And Amir Johnson was fantastic last year. I keep going back on how great of a rim protector he became for this team. Not Perkins level, but manageable, which is what they needed. This year, I don't feel the same way. He's had his moments. He's had the games where he's been able to be impactful. But he's giving you like 10, 13 minutes a night, 3 or 4 rebounds. He's not blocking shots the same way he did last year. So you have to find a guy who's going to do what Amir Johnson does better. And Amir Johnson's a good player for the system, but I think he's just gone a little too over the hill as far as his energy goes, as far as his physicality goes, as far as the ability to play 30, 35 minutes a night like they might need a guy like that to do in the playoffs. And that's what we're looking towards is the playoffs. We need a guy who's going to be able to do that. So I don't care if it's Bogut, Baca, they've talked
Bobby.
About Noel a little bit. Hopping,
yeah, I have to do it because it's going to drive Nick Sesento nuts, and he's going to come in and jump on it later. But I've done the last two post game shows because apparently I'm the only West Coaster around that's connected to CLNS. So we've been getting out of this argument because I proposed.
Let it go, Calvin.
Yeah.
Let it go, Calvin.
I'm letting it out. I'm letting it out right now. Yeah. So I've been proposing this. I have this theory that the Celtics should consider moving Jaylen Brown because the reason I say that is because he has the value of the third pick in the NBA draft without the production of someone who's really going to hurt the Celtics if they trade him before the playoffs start. He's not quite ready for prime time when it comes to just his discipline and a guy who's going to be one of the, you know, 5 or 6 guys you're going to count on in a shortened playoff rotation. But I feel like he can get that guy back in a trade. And even though, yes, he is a young piece, I feel like you owe it to this team and this roster right now with a lot of guys who are, you know, going to be free agents. Isaiah is never going to be this good again. You know, maybe he will for another year or two. But the point is so I've been making the argument that it's logical to me to consider moving Jaylen Brown, even if that hurts Celtics fans. So in a hypothetical trade, people are like, oh, well then who would you trade Jaylen Brown for?
Yeah.
So I threw out the name of Nurkic, and we've just been getting into huge arguments about how terrible it is of an idea to trade Jaylen Brown for Nurkic. Nick Sesento is infuriated about the idea.
I can just feel the heat coming from behind the board right now.
Yeah. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Have you jump in on the hot Jaylen Brown for Nurkic debate that's been flying through these post game shit.
Nurkic's awesome.
Bobby, I'll let you respond, but I got to come back since Kevin wanted to bring it up. I got to come back after that. But Bobby, go ahead. I want to hear your take on this.
I'll be as brief as I can so we can get our little Nick Sesento spot of the night going. But Nurkic, I like Nurkic as a player. 22 years old, so there's certainly upside there. Looking at his block numbers, which is what I'm really interested. He's under a block a game, which I don't love. But Jokic's the guy out there who's the real beast. He had 40 points the other night. He looks like he's going to be a monster in this league. He's a top 10 player. And if you're going to give up the Jaylen Brown, and I wouldn't give up Jaylen Brown. The guy I'd be willing to give up right now, and call me a fraud for this because he's been out of the picture now and they've been having success without him, is Avery Bradley. I think Avery Bradley right now is the most valuable piece on this team, even more valuable than Jaylen Brown, because you're buying into Jaylen Brown, you're buying into some uncertainty there. Bradley, we know what he's made of. He's one of the best two-way players in the league as far as your strength initially on defense goes. He's still not an old man yet. He's getting up there. Go ahead.
You see the difference in trading Avery Bradley, though, right? Avery Bradley makes your team worse for this year's playoffs, where trading Jaylen Brown doesn't really affect the quality of a playoff team in 2017. That's really – when you say trade Avery Bradley for a guy, what you're saying is, you know, make ourselves worse to hopefully make ourselves better. You're not saying that when you trade Jaylen Brown, you're saying, you know, maybe make ourselves worse 3 years from now to give us a chance to win right now. You're saying two different things.
Now, I'm saying and the only reason I've come around on Bradley a little bit is because I've seen the Celtics team play for a few weeks now without him, and I think if you fit in a marginable, or probably more than marginable player, a guy who's going to be able to impact this team immediately, and that's what I trade Bradley for. I'd be looking for someone better than Nurkic. I'd be looking for a guy, an impact starter in that front court, probably.
Ooh,
more impactful than Nurkic. If we're going to – oh, I got to give you a name.
You got to give me a name, man. We play for keeps here.
All right, so if I'm going to give you a name, I'm going to go with Nerlens Noel. Nerlens Noel, I think, is a great fit for the system. I think he's a good guy to commit money to in that front court. I think there's a lot of upside there. He's a Boston guy. I've been big on Nerlens Noel all season. So if you're going to pry him out of Philly, I think the guy you do it with is Avery Bradley.
I need to see now. I need Nick's thoughts on trading Bradley instead of because I think that to me is a much crazier thought than my thought that the Celtics should.
No, you know my thing is,
and the reason why I said is if you just look at what's happened, you know, Celtics fans have this memory of like not memory, but they have this sort of idea because they played pretty well without Avery Bradley that they don't need Avery Bradley now. But the problem is that the thing that Avery Bradley affects the most, which is like perimeter and 3-point defense, has largely been pretty bad without Avery Bradley. Like if you just look at how many points they're getting, they're giving up from the 3-point line from the perimeter. Like I love Isaiah Thomas, but you need guys like Avery Bradley is what allows Isaiah Thomas to play on the floor without. You know, basically making the Celtics a break-even situation because Bradley is the guy who can switch. When you have Isaiah on the floor, everyone else on the perimeter has to be able to switch.
Well, what you got to consider when you're talking about guys to trade as well is how the contracts line up. And over the next 2 years, they're going to have to make a decision on those three guards. Who do you want to keep? Two guys out of that Thomas, Smart, and Bradley category? And if you're going to find the right deal, and, you know, maybe I just had to throw a name out there. I'm a big Noel guy. Maybe it's not known as Noel. Maybe you need something better than that. You got to get rid of one of those guards at some point. And if you're planning to compete now and compete in the future, that Brown contract, it's a valuable rookie contract that's going to take you years from now. I still think there's a ton of upside with Brown. As great as Bradley is, and this is no knock on Bradley, my willingness to trade him. He works every single year to add a new aspect to his game, and you don't see that from a lot of NBA players. The way he's rebounded this year has just made him a completely different player. But one of those guards has to go. And the way I see Smart continuing to develop as a playmaker, and the way he plays defense within the system. And Nick, we're going to unleash you in just 1 second.
I feel like we shouldn't Nick talk for the rest of the show because I'm really enjoying this torture right now.
My final thing is Smart. The more I watch him defensively, he makes so much sense for this system. And he really helps out Isaiah Thomas. And he's continuing to develop as a playmaker. The thing is, he'll never be the offensive player Bradley will be, but I'm willing to compromise on that because of how much better he makes everyone around him. And now we'll unleash the beast. Nick Sesento, go ahead.
No, I think I definitely agree with the statement that, you know, it's not going to be Isaiah Thomas, first of all. Of those three guys that are coming up, it's not going to be Isaiah Thomas. And you know, Avery Bradley, I mean, I honestly have been saying trade Avery Bradley for the longest time, but I'm not going to jump on the trade Avery Bradley bandwagon when he's not even playing, because I think that Calvin is absolutely right about that. The Avery Bradley, you subtract Avery Bradley from the long term when it comes to playing in the playoffs, and you lose a lot of things. We lost the game to Sacramento largely because the team had no effort and no desire to win that game, but also because I think it was Darren Collison had close to a 30-point game, which is really what Avery Bradley, you know, stops. This is a largely guard-run league, and you have Avery Bradley that can keep up with almost all the small guards in the league. I think what you do if you really want to keep Marcus Smart and develop around him, yeah, you got to trade Avery Bradley, otherwise he's going to walk for nothing after next season. And maybe trade the pick. I think maybe you can get Nerlens Noel for the pick and the Brooklyn. Well, listen, you're not going to have Markelle Fultz and Marcus Smart doing the same thing on this team. It's just not going to happen because that's if the way the Brooklyn pick is going now is going to be number one or number two or three in the top eight prospects. Are pretty much guards and small guards at that. So, you know, if we happen to get the number one pick, which is the goal, you pick Markelle Fultz, who's basically a 6'4" version of Marcus Smart that can score. I mean, you can't have like five point guards on the team, and you know, with so many overlapping talent. I like Nerlens Noel. I've been, you know, an advocate of him on the show as well. He's not the only player that I like. I think there's going to be some players in free agency that you can get, like maybe like a Gordon Hayward, that would make Avery Bradley, you know, less necessary, because I think that you could probably slide him down to the two position. But my thing about trading Jaylen Brown is it doesn't solve the problem of, you know, having to pay Marcus Smart close to, you know, $15,000, $17,000, Evan Turner money. And then having to pay Avery Bradley, he's mad about his $8 million, and yeah, he's overplaying his contract. But what happens when you try to renew him? Then you got to pay him 20, 22, 25 max. You know what I'm saying? Because I think he's been in the league long enough to where his max numbers are going to be really high. If that's what he thinks that he's worth, I don't think that he's quite worth max. But you're going to pay 20. There's no way to pay Isaiah Thomas max, Avery Bradley $20 million or somewhere around there, and Marcus Smart $15 to $17 million. It's just not going to happen.
In a league where Gordon Hayward's probably going to make $30 million, I don't think it's crazy to think Bradley's going to make $20 million. And that's a tricky situation right there, because Bradley's an unrestricted free agent, so he's going to have access to a greater pool of money probably. And then Marcus Smart, you'll probably be able to get the better deal on. But I think you made a really good point right there, in that number one pick, and I am a complete off the board. You're not moving that number one pick right now. Brooklyn has 9 or 10 games on the second worst team in the NBA. So that's going to be the number 1, 2, or 3 pick. And with how deep this draft seems to be, I think if you're not going to get your DeMarcus Cousins and you're not going to get... Well, the thing is, this is my point. If you're not going to get the Jimmy Butler and you're not going to get the DeMarcus Cousins, the only other way you're going to get your shining star is through the draft with one of those top draft picks. So you have to take that chance. If you're a top three pick, you have to make that selection and hope you found that next guy, because
right now
it doesn't look like it's going to be Cousins. It doesn't look like it's going to be Butler for the foreseeable future. So if you're going to try to hit a home run and find that superstar, you have to go all in on this Brooklyn pick.
But, Bobby, Marcus Smart is great.
He's great, but he's not the superstar.
He's great.
I think Markelle Fultz could be the superstar. So there's my exception to my take right there. If you want to get rid of Smart because you say he's going to be a stopgap and get in the way of Markelle Fultz, I'm all for that, because I am all in on Markelle
Fultz.
That's
pretty much what I just said, basically.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was definitely your point right there, and I'll get behind that. Marcus Smart's great. I'm ready to say that at this point, but I see even more than great when I look at Fultz. Yeah.
Well, you can't be more than. I think you need to change your command
my
of the
terminology,
English language.
Yeah.
Your adjective game needs to change, because if Marcus Smart is great, then what is he? Is Fultz spectacular? Like what are we talking about? How much better than great is he? How much greater than great?
There's a scale that goes from awful to superstar, and he's probably between great and superstar if we're going to use the adjective scale right here. Anyways,
Markelle Fultz is great to a superstar, going to be great to a superstar. If he's that good, then, you know, then you got to let go of Marcus Smart, really. There's no way you can have both of them. I just don't see it. And I think that at this rate, Marcus for Nerlens Noel is bit like straight up. I think you get a deal like that, if not something even better. I think you could probably or a smart for Nurkic. Yeah, smart for Nurkic. I'm with you on that. I think that works because when you have Avery Bradley back, you have someone that can stop the best perimeter player can defend the best perimeter player, and then you have somebody that, even if they happen to get past the, you know, the perimeter defense, you have someone like, whether it's a Nurl or a Nurkic or somebody big, that can, you know, fill that paint and stop them from getting to the hoop. That's been the biggest problem for the Celtics defense, is that they have good perimeter defenders, and Marcus Smart is one of them. Avery Bradley is one of them. Isaiah Thomas is not, but both of those players are very good at, you know, picking up, you know, the slack, getting around
Crowder
the pick
too.
And rolls. Yeah,
Crowder
as well. They're excellent at that, because Crowder, despite not being what, you know, looks like the quickest person, he has, you know, reasonable lateral speed, and he's been able to play, you know, off that position. So is Jaylen Brown, as a matter of fact. When they put Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder in the lineup at the same time, both of them, you know, can you know, switch off on guard.
Yeah, the problem with Jaylen Brown, though, is his team defense is not great. He gets out of position a lot. I feel
he's a rookie.
I know. No, he's a rookie, yeah. I'm just saying he doesn't – I'm not sure that his overall –
No, he's not in that category.
Yeah, he's not in that class, especially not right now. But certainly he can make defensive plays. I think, you know, his athleticism allows him to make plays that you wouldn't think he would be able to make. So I think he has defensive potential. There's no question about that. But he's definitely not there overall as a defender. But I think Noel might be off the table any second, because the Sixers
Embiid
are –
Embiid is hurt,
and the Sixers did not play. They intentionally sat Okafor tonight, because apparently he's going to be traded any minute. So I think once that Okafor deal goes through, then with Embiid hurt, I would imagine Noel's probably off the table for now. But, you know, who's still on the table is my boy Nurkic, who, by the way, I just happened to look it up because Bobby said he didn't like his blocks. Nurkic gets more blocks per 36 than Noel. I'm just saying.
Take me through Nurkic a little bit, because I'll admit it, I'm a little unfamiliar with him as a player. I know a lot
about
Jokic, but not so much Nurkic.
His per 36s are fantastic. I looked at it after, I investigated Calvin's trade. My problem wasn't with Nurkic, which I think he kind of took personally. It was the fact of getting rid of Jaylen Brown as opposed to addressing the guard, you know, problem, the guard salary problem.
Okay,
but I'll let Calvin address, you know, Nurkic. But he does have legitimate stats. He's a guy that you'd love to have on this team.
Here's the thing about Nurkic. He's huge. He's 7 feet tall. He's 280 pounds. He's a center who plays defense and rebounds well. The problem is Nurkic was a rookie 2 years ago. He got hurt, and then he was out for the season, basically, after getting off to a really good start in his rookie year. Then the Nuggets drafted Jokic, who, you know, thrived while Nurkic was out for the majority of last season. And the problem is, you know, teams can't play two centers. Jokic is also a center who's better than Nurkic. I mean, there's no slight on Nurkic, but Jokic is just a really good NBA basketball player. Because they can't play them both, they're having a hard time finding minutes, especially with Denver's already crowded, you know, front court of guys that they also have to play, like Fareed and, you know, like Gallinari and other guys who can shoot from a farther distance than Nurkic can play. So he's a good basketball player. He just doesn't fit with what they have. They tried starting both Nurkic and Jokic at the start of the season, and they just were not fast enough with both of them out there. And therefore, like, the Nuggets are trading Nurkic, but he's a good player who, because he hasn't gotten that many minutes, he's sort of undervalued right now. And you probably could get him, you know, maybe Jaylen Brown is too much for him. Maybe you could get him for cheaper, but he's certainly a player that I think some team is going to pry out for a reasonable price, and he goes to the right situation. He is a rim protector. Like I said, you know, he's like 25th in the NBA in blocks per 36, which I guess you could argue isn't great, but it's still, you know, it's still well above average, and he is a good rebounder on a per minute basis. And I just think he's a good player that a team's going to, you know, really cash in on. And he's young. He's not like – I wasn't saying trade Jaylen Brown for David West. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that would be that unreasonable. But just positionally, he makes more sense for the Celtics as well. And he would help them right now, because he is what we're talking about, a rim protector who, you know, again, Al Horford says he doesn't want to play center. But and that's fine. But the problem is apparently Stevens only committed to playing Amir, whether – it's through energy levels or not, 15 minutes a game. So if Al Horford wants a center, he's a center, and he's young, and he's good.
Well, what's interesting?
How about this? Let's go to a break, and we have two callers on the line. I stepped away from the switchboard for like 2 seconds while I was listening to this riveting conversation about trading Marcus Smart for Yusuf Nurkic. We have two callers on the line. So how about we do a break and then come back? Y'all can continue the discussion. We have one caller, Sam in San Diego, who wants to tell us why we can't trade Jaylen Brown. And then we have Isaiah in Jersey, who wants to tell us why we can't trade Avery Bradley. So we have callers that have been sparked up by our discussion. How about that, Bobby?
The Movement Watchers call line is on fire. You want to get in that line, 347-215-771. We're going to a break, and we'll be right back with your calls on the Celtics postgame show.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
This is Seth Mello of the Boston Celtics, and you are listening now to CLNS Radio.
CLNS Radio postgame show. Getting into segment two right here. Going to open it up with the Movement Watchers call lines, 347 215 888-888-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. Department store watches, those big things you see on people's wrists, those are $400-$500. And if you're like me, you're in college, your bank account doesn't even go up that high. So that's not happening. But luckily, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing the savings directly to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable. We talked about earlier in the show, money makes the world go around, so you need something affordable. And they start at just $95. I can afford that. So go to mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat, and better yet, you're going to get 15% off your first order with free shipping, $0 that is. That's mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. And your number to call us and get in line on the Movement Watches call line is 347-215-7771. One more note before we get to that. I want to bring in Nurkic again right before we get to our callers and some of their thoughts on the trade front. Love his contract. Looked it up over the break. He's at $1.9 million this year, $2.9 million next year, so you have contract control if you move for him. And an interesting note, we talked about Jahlil Okafor, who's going to be on the move any minute now. One of the teams involved on him and reportedly in talks for the 76ers, big man, is the Nuggets. So maybe the Nuggets are looking for another big guy and might be willing to move Nurkic out, so that's interesting. And Calvin, about time we get to a call, right? So we're going to go with.
I'm sorry, let's do it.
Let's do it. And one of my favorites, one of the most insightful callers we have, is a man by the name of Isaiah. And you know, with a man named Isaiah, he's got to be good. So Isaiah in New Jersey, you're starting us off. What do you got, my man?
What's going on, fellas? How's everything tonight?
Great.
Always good.
All right, all right. Nice to talk to you guys again, especially after another great Celtic victory.
Hey, thanks for joining us at 1:30.
Yeah, tell me about it. Restless night, you know, but Celtics win always helps me get some Z's. But you guys, you know, you stop me from shutting down and going to sleep when you start talking about trading, guys. And I can't believe we're back here again. We're talking about markets going again. Come on, guys. I don't understand what you guys have to see in order to see the markets as part of the future. The reason why I say this is, when I first got on my soapbox for Marcus, till now, look at the growth that he's made, especially when I first noted that he was playing out of position. And as soon as he got the opportunity to play his position, you see that growth. And he's only a third-year player. Look at Kelly. Kelly's been in the league how long, and he's finally learning how to be aggressive and use his height and use his size and his skills to his advantage. These guys take time to grow. So if Marcus has made that jump from the beginning of the season until now, can you imagine 2 years from now what his game is going to be like? He just has to round his game into shape, but you see what he is. He's basically Derek Jeter on a basketball court. The guy does everything necessary in order to win, and he's got that magic that winners, that winning teams have winning players like that on. He's basically this generation's DJ. And for you guys to still be throwing his name out there, I don't know why, but I would love to keep him. I'd love to see him grow and play with Isaiah. And beyond all of that, the reason why I'd love to see him stay is because he plays so well with IT. He lets IT play off the ball. Avery can't let IT play off the ball. He doesn't run the team. He doesn't have the ball handling skills. He's not the same guy. I love Avery. I think we should shift that Marcus talk, put Marcus in a force field, leave alone, and shift that talk over to AB. As much as I love AB, we can't keep them all. And I think that's the guy that we can actually get value for, and we can actually bring somebody in. And also, the guy that I would love to bring in, and the more I think about it, the more to me it makes sense, is I would love to see Avery Bradley in some kind of deal to bring Carmelo Anthony to Boston.
Oh,
no. He just blew up the show. He exploded the entire show, bro.
I would love to do that over the Nurkic move because as good a player as Nurkic is, I don't think that he's going to put us over the top to beat Cleveland. And I think Jalen's on that next wave. He's another player that I'm going to point to and say, look at his development as soon as he gets a chance to play. You see what he's going to be. He's going to be a monster. He's going to be a Paul George-type player if he ever gets that three-point shot together. And I would love to see him grow. But a guy like Avery, who we're going to have to pay and a guy like Jay Crowder, who we would be replacing with a Hall of Fame basketball player. I would love to see those two guys in some package, along with a guy like Zeller.
Isaiah, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So you want to get rid of the Brooklyn Nets pick then, right? You don't want that pick this year because then you plan to have Markelle Fultz and Marcus Smart on the team at the same time?
No.
How do you develop both of those players?
Well, the last time I called, I said what I would do with the first round pick, if it was the first pick overall, is I would hold it hostage. I would hold it for ransom. I'd auction that pick off because I don't need another point guard. But this draft is deep. It's about 9 or 10 players deep. You guys aren't looking towards the backside where you got the guy from Florida State, Isaac, or you got another guy from Duke, who like Tatum. I mean, those are wings, and where we need is we're going to need wings moving forward because the NBA is a point guard wing-dominated league. We need those guys, and if we have a chance to add another type of player like Jaylen Brown, which I think Tatum's going to be. Myself, I love Tatum. I would move back in the draft, and I would keep replenishing. I would make the Boston Celtics basically Celtic U, keep those picks coming in while we keep the veterans there. Because let's face it, this team was never supposed to win anyway. This team was put together in order to appease the fans. Let us compete. Let's put quality out there while we're still generating and adding assets.
I love what you're saying, though. Now, this team's not to compete, but it's competing. So it's mm-hmm. close. It's there. I don't understand this philosophy I get from a certain segment of Celtics fans, and it sort of goes hand in hand with the other philosophy that a lot of Celtics fans espouse, which is this reality with players. You know, like 2 years ago, Celtics fans were telling me, like, well, what's Jordan's thing? Anyone in the NBA. Literally, I would take calls every episode about every post-game about Jared's ceiling. I took calls about Avery Bradley's ceiling. I took calls about Rajon Rondo becoming a much better player when he was 27-year-old. So people thought he was, you know, how much better can Rondo get? I don't know. I feel like there's a long history of Celtics fans not wanting to let go of any player that was already on the team because Boston is just so attached to their players. And I'm going to address this some more with Sam in San Diego. I see it with this Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart thing because they're younger than guys like Avery Bradley. So even though Avery Bradley is a better basketball player than the one of them, but to me, it's like it doesn't matter that this team's plan, before was just to tank till all these picks came through and then hope you become good later. That's not how it worked out. You're good now. You're close. This team has an opportunity to make a move to get itself over the top. Who knows if, like, to assume, one, that you'll even get Fultz, and two, that Fultz is a transcendent-level player that's just going to, take you into the next era. Both of these are wild assumptions based on things that we don't know. And, yes, I agree with you. Fultz is a 6'5 player who's awesome, but yet you could have him on the team and not play him as a traditional point guard. But to me, it's not. That's neither here nor all that is speculation at this point. The reality is this team is second in the East. It has a chance, in my opinion, if it makes a bold move, to get there. They have assets, but I hear from Celtics fans, everyone wants to sit around and hope guys develop, and we'll just see what happens in the future. And to me, that's an insane notion when your team is close, and you should win. I don't understand it. Why do I care more than you guys about this?
No, that's not necessarily true. Let me tell you what's the problem with Nurkic. How are you going to play him? Are you telling me that while almost every contending NBA team goes small in the fourth quarter, you're telling me that we're going to stay big with Nurkic?
My argument, Nurkic was like an example of a guy you could get. The crux of my argument is why Jaylen Brown would be the player that the Celtics think about moving before either Smart or Bradley. Because those are players that are more valuable to the three-guard. The three-guard patient is what makes Celtics, quotes, even if one argue that they're special. That's what is special about them. And so,
well, I disagree with you on that point.
I hear what you're saying of them going small, but I think that they don't seem to want it small. It should be going small, but they should be going small with Al Horford being a big red tech. Because he isn't, something you think about in those fourth situations we're talking about. Maybe you have Nurkic as your man that you bring in, and you use Horford more situationally. I know it sounds ridiculous given his contract, but I'm just saying if you have the versatility of rim protection that you have now, if you get into a game that needs to be more defensive-minded, you have that piece. You know, you look at teams like when the Cavaliers 2 years ago with LeBron had to play guys like Mozgov more than they would have liked, or then they had to play Tristan Thompson in a series, but then they didn't play him in the next series. You need different pieces to match up with different opponents. You need to adapt to different situations, and the Celtics are a team that's missing that piece. Probably is going to cost them in a playoff series. You give a team a look with the traditional big man. We've seen teams, especially in the playoffs, get ground to a halt. Not every team in the NBA is the Warriors. Yeah, you can't do that to the Warriors. You can do that to a lot of teams.
Yeah, but you saw what happened to a shot blocker when you go down the stretch today. You saw how the Celtics manipulated Gobert and made him ineffective. It can happen. And so for my money, I wouldn't want to go get him, because to me, he's not going to be a difference maker down the stretch for us. And the reason why I wouldn't give up Jaylen Brown is because I have other assets. Danny's done a great job of giving us options. And two of those options, I disagree with the point that you said that we don't want to give anyone up, because A.B. Bradley's homegrown. I love A.B. I love what he did for us, and I love the way he plays. But I would give him up in order to bring somebody like Carmelo in, because, like I said, I think Carmelo would be the missing piece of this offense. He would be someone that would change.
Avery, and who else? Let's get down to nuts and bolts here, because I like this. Let's not live in a fantasy.
I would go
Avery Bradley, and who else?
I would give up Avery. I would give up Crowder, and I would try to do the deal for Zeller. If I could do that, Avery, Crowder, and Zeller, or if they won't take Zeller, if I could do our pick, not the next pick next year, but I would throw in our pick. And the reason why I would do it is because you see how we play without Avery. That three-guard rotation of Avery, IT, and Marcus doesn't work. We all can agree on that. We've seen it all year. That doesn't work. So if it doesn't work and we're playing in the playoffs, that means Marcus is on the bench. That means which one of the three is not going to be on the floor?
But you really lost
work
me.
Without the rim, that's a thing. It doesn't work because the Celtics aren't on the other end. Not because those three together are terrible perimeter-wise. Marcus Smart can handle almost anybody in the perimeter. The problem is when they start getting boosted up, they have the interior to cover
Those three are horrible defensively, because IT is the worst point guard, if not the worst player defensively in basketball. That's why that three doesn't work. So if you're going to commit to IT, which I'm wholeheartedly doing, I'm off the IT trade bandwagon. If I'm going to commit to IT, I'm going to commit to certain things, and I got to understand my defense isn't going to be what I need it to be. It's not, because IT's on the court, and he's giving it to me on the offensive end. And because I can't play Marcus at the three all the time, because he thrives at the one, that means that Avery is the guy that's out. And if Avery's out, I'm going to try to replace Crowder at the same time and bring in a guy like Carmelo, who down the stretch of games, when teams are going small, you slide him to the four, Horford to the five. You got Jaylen Brown at the three. You have IT playing the one and Marcus at the two. And that works a lot better.
I think that's assuming that Carmelo Anthony is going to adapt to the system and become a ball mover and not be the ball-stopping, heavy usage, high shot, low efficiency guy he's been the last 2 years. I really don't. You talk about a lot about how the Celtics play. I really don't see how Carmelo Anthony fits into how the Celtics play. I think if you're looking for a guy to really change what's going on here, I think Carmelo is kind of repetitive with what Isaiah's been doing for them. And I think what Isaiah's been doing for them is better than what Carmelo could give them in that same way. I don't see how Melo brings them to another level, especially defensively.
Well, if I can answer that question, if I can answer that statement, the reason why I disagree with you is because I agree and disagree. He does do what Isaiah Thomas does, but he does it 15 feet and in. He's a bully ball guy that you can put your bigger version of IT on the post, and let him work down the stretch of games in the fourth quarter instead of just going with IT pick and roll. Like Marcus said, they need to help IT. It can't be about him scoring 20 points every fourth quarter. So why not put somebody out there who I think he's a smart enough basketball player. I mean, I think he's a smart enough basketball player to adjust to Brad's system. And everyone gets better in his system. I mean, you just saw Young come off the bench and play his role in the system and grab 10 points. I mean, everyone performs in his system. So to assume that a high-level, high-IQ basketball player like Carmelo can adapt to a great coach like Brad when everyone else gets better in his system, I think that's you know, that's cutting Carmelo short of what he really is. I mean, I think he's a great player.
Isaiah, can I give you some credit here? Because I don't agree with everything you're saying, just because I feel like if you trade both Crowder and Avery Bradley, you're ruining what your greatest strength is, which is defensive versatility. For yeah, he would be a better player. I do think that Carmelo, and I've made the same argument before for as to why the Celtics should get him. I just don't like your specific trade package. But all that being said, I admire the fact that you are sort of aligned with my thinking of the Celtics need to make a bold move to try to make themselves better. And whether or not that worked out, I don't think that particular version of the trade would work out. I think you can get Carmelo for something reasonable.
Yes.
I think the Celtics could probably get him without giving up both Crowder and Bradley. Maybe, you know, one of those two and their own draft.
Crowder's
got to
go. Crowder would have to go.
I'm just saying maybe, you know, in that scenario, maybe you Crowder is probably the one who has to go because Carmelo has to take
his
starting
position.
But maybe you go Crowder and the Amir contract and, you know, Crowder, the Amir contract, and the Celtics draft pick, and that might be enough of its own to get you Carmelo Anthony at this point. But the way I just think that they have to. Celtics fans all hate Carmelo Anthony, and I'm glad. And I don't like Carmelo Anthony either. But you just have to look at what you can get for what you can give up at this point. And there's so much value on Carmelo Anthony. I don't know why you wouldn't be happy for, you know, to get him at an extremely reduced rate at this point.
Especially right, 24-6. 24-6, this guy's averaging this year. That's what we've been dreaming about as Celtics fans. That extra piece, that superstar, that's him.
Hey, Isaiah, I hate to cut you off, but we got to get to another break here. Is there anything else you want to say before we let you go? We got some more callers lined up right here.
I love the conversation, guys. Only you guys could keep me up this late at night. And the only other thing I got to say is, the last time we traded one of our young guys, it was for Rodney Rogers and Tony Delk, and Joe Johnson is still scoring buckets. We could have had our own big three with Antoine, Paul Pierce, and Joe Johnson and let that grow. So don't trade these young guys. We don't have to go for it all now. Be smart about what we're doing, and let's go green.
Thanks, Isaiah. That's Isaiah in New Jersey, one of our finest callers. And before we go to our final call of the night, I think we're going to take a quick break.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal...
Here we go. Getting it going for another segment here on the CLNS Celtics postgame show. Want to find yourself a Celtics game? I know you do. They're the second seed in the NBA right now. And for a limited time, you can get a limited number of 8-game memberships available for the upcoming season. Get the same great seats for all eight games in your plan. Convenient payment plan options and more are available. Secure your seats now at Celtics.com. We're going to keep rolling with the Movement Watchers call lines. Trade conversations hot here. February 23rd is that deadline, so we got a big decision to make. I don't think the Celtics have to rush to make a deal right now. I really don't. But if they want to, that clock's ticking. February 23rd, 3 o'clock is the deadline. And one of the guys who might be on the block, or so Calvin thinks so, if there's going to be a trade, is Jaylen Brown. And Sam in San Diego wants to talk about Jaylen Brown. Are you for moving him or against him, Sam?
No, I think Calvin knows I'm against it. Sorry, guys, I'm driving. But, hey, the whole Jaylen Brown thing, is, I guess the biggest problem with it is that I think Danny Ainge said it himself. There really isn't a player out there that's going to put us over the top this year. He said he believed in miracles, but there isn't a player out there who's going to get us over the top. I would be okay with trading Jaylen if we're getting somebody like a Butler. Absolutely, no problem, and you package him, right? But if you're going to deal him for a guy like Nurkic, you're basically trying to go all in now. And let's say Cleveland is vulnerable, which I don't really think they are. I mean, they look the same way last year at this point, and, you know, LeBron will eventually turn it on. But even if we get past them, we're not beating Golden State. They'd like to flow with us. So you don't make a move like that right now. I agree. You trade Bradley because you can't trade Smart. I mean, you see this guy. This guy is really very quickly becoming the soul of this team. They say that some players want it more than others. Some players don't hate to lose. This is a player that hates to lose, and it shows out there. He goes out there and grabs the ball from players. And that's just my take on it now. As far as the Carmelo thing, the only thing I fear with him is I don't want him infecting our locker room. We play a certain way. We play a Celtic way, and he's kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things about this team is that they've built a great culture. They really know how to play together, and the way they play together almost seems seamless at times. And I think Carmelo could really – I think there's so much more risk and so little reward with Carmelo Anthony. I think the chances of him putting you over the top are paper thin, and that's what you think the reward is. People have this image of Melo like he's his old Denver self and he can just transform a team. He's on the tail end of his career, especially as being a great player goes, so I'm completely off the board with him too. And as far as Jaylen Brown goes, I didn't say this earlier, but the beauty of a guy like Jaylen Brown and the Brooklyn pick is that you can compete now and have these guys to continue to compete into the future. So they're coming up in a winning system, which you see so rarely. And they have guys who help them compete now, like Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. You want guys like Jaylen Brown and Markel Fultz, if they go with him, or Lonzo Ball, or one of those guys in the draft. The best way for those guys to become great players is to come up on great teams like this and learn lessons playing around great players like Isaiah Thomas and learn how to win basketball games. And I think there's massive value in having Jaylen Brown continue to come up in a system like this. Calvin, any thoughts?
Yeah, I have thoughts. My thought is, I'm no scared of this.
anti-competitive that's infected not only NBA executives and GMs, also the media, basically everyone said that, hey, if you're not LeBron James or if you're not the Golden State Warriors, you shouldn't try at all. You should just, you're better off just being the 76ers. Well, yeah, okay, it worked out well for them with Embiid. But people look like, yeah, it doesn't matter that they were just terrible for those 4 years. What if the 76ers don't win a title with this team? Which is, it's likely, because one of 30 teams wins a title every year, they don't win a title. Then it's terrible if the team were better, and then that's, people act like, if the only thing that matters is winning a title, then why compete at all? If you win every game, you lose every game. The Celtics are close to good. Maybe I've been arguing on another show why Cleveland's more than they were in previous years. And the moment is the NBA. They're against Philly. I mean, that what Messi is affecting Celtics right now. But the Detroit Pistons, when they making a league, likely that they would beat the Lakers. Yeah, I think it's due to
you're breaking up a lot, Calvin. Hello.
All right, I'm gonna hop right in there. It sounds like Calvin's having some connection issues at the moment. Anyways, picking up where he left off. I think what he was basically saying is that the perception in the league right now is that if you're not Golden State, if you're not Cleveland, there's no point in competing at all. And that's largely true. That's largely a big perception that's out there, and I don't really attest to that either. I think where the Celtics are at, they're going to be able to compete with some of the best teams in the league. They've done it on a nightly basis. But if they want to get to that point, they're going to have to make a move of some sort. And it has to be the right move. It has to be a move that puts them up there on that level, especially if you're going to be giving up some of your big pieces like these guys. And like I said earlier, I don't think it's Carmelo Anthony. I really don't. I don't think a guy like Nurkic is going to transform the team. And if you're going to give up a massive piece like Jaylen Brown, you've got to be getting a guy back who's going to be able to change the team overnight. And if you're going to get a Jimmy Butler, a DeMarcus Cousins, I think you give up anybody you have to get those guys. If it's going to be Jaylen Brown, if it's going to be the Brooklyn pick, you do it. But to get a Nurkic, I just don't feel like that's the kind of guy you want to give up. Okay, those are guys that you get for the right price. Like Isaiah Thomas, when he came here, they weren't going to give up a major piece to get themselves Isaiah Thomas. They just found the right deal to get Isaiah Thomas, and he ended up helping their team a lot. Jay Crowder coming here. It was the right deal for the right price, and they got him. That was obviously a different situation with Rondo, but Ainge really likes to find the right trade. And Sam, if you're going to highlight any guy who you think can help this team a lot, who's kind of an outside-the-box kind of guy and could push them further than maybe a Nurkic could, who's a guy you really have your eyes on who isn't a Butler or a Cousins who's going to shake the world up?
I mean, outside of those guys, I don't think there is a guy. I mean, we could use another scorer on the second team. And I've heard Lou Williams talked about, which is a guy that could definitely score. He's a Laker, which I don't like, and I would hate to give them anything. But I do think we could use a scorer off the bench that can light it up, that can come in and do kind of what we hope Gerald Green can do on a more consistent basis. Lou Williams can do, so maybe somebody like that. But just to leave it here, just as far as, just going off what you're saying, I think the problem is Calvin isn't seeing what Brown can be and how long we've been waiting for a wing that can score, that is athletic, and that has the potential to become that star. And Nurkic is not that kind of player, so you can't do that.
Am I back?
I just want to say one last thing because I have to go. I heard you guys play the Fab Melo commercial. I don't know if you guys heard or if you guys already mentioned that Fab Melo passed away.
Yeah, it was in tribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was. Okay, good.
Sam, make sure you listen to my response because I want to speak to you directly.
We'll do.
You have to guess.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
Go Celtics.
All right. Looks like that's Sam in San Diego. So what are you going to say, Calvin?
Okay, so again, the people who are so against the idea of moving Jaylen Brown, it all goes back to the provinciality that I was talking about earlier. You have to be realistic about how good your assets are. I'm not saying that Jaylen Brown hasn't been good this season at all. I'm not saying that he doesn't have value. I'm not saying that he doesn't have potential. I'm not saying any of those things. But like I feel like I talk about Jaylen Brown, and you listen to Sam in San Diego. We had a call after the previous post game where Sam in San Diego said that he wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Brandon Ingram. And Danny Ainge would do that deal in a heartbeat. I hate mentioning Laker players because everyone thinks I'll be biased. But it has nothing to do with that. What's that?
You really think they'd trade Jaylen Brown for Brandon Ingram if that was a hypothetical deal?
You don't think so either. But yeah, of course they would. Look, both of them we're talking about potential situations because neither one of them has achieved their potential. But the fact is, but if you just look at Brandon, there's a reason why Brandon Ingram was the consensus number two pick in the draft, and it has to do with the fact that he's 6'9", he has Kevin Durant's body size type, and if you look at his physicality, and again, he might not ever achieve his potential, but if we're talking about ceilings right now, there's no question that Brandon Ingram still has a higher ceiling than Jaylen Brown. But again, as I said on that post-game show, if I were in the position that the Celtics were in, and I had Brandon Ingram as a luxury on my team, a guy who wasn't contributing to a team that, you know, could potentially get to the finals, that's the point of being in the NBA. So just the nature of competitiveness, it doesn't make sense to me to move either Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley. It makes sense for 2 years to be the one to move Marcus Smart now, but I don't understand why you make your team worse now for the future when everyone on this team who's good, other than Jaylen Brown and and Marcus Smart, is a player who's in their late 20s or early 30s. This is a team that's built to win now or now-ish. Okay, and yeah, who knows how good Fultz is going to be or whoever the Celtics end up drafting. I feel like it's foolish to even speculate on how good they're going to be and who can play with guys who aren't on this roster yet. That to me is a ridiculous notion. The bottom line to me is that this team is really good right now, and I don't necessarily think they'll be that good 3 years from now. And thusly, because you have Isaiah Thomas playing offensively at an MVP-type level, I don't see why you don't try to maximize that and get as far as you can. Maybe you fail. Maybe you can't beat Cleveland, but why not try? If you say, hey, we don't try because we don't want to blow up this team for 6 years from now, well, then just shut it down right now. Send everyone home, and we'll see the Celtics in 6 years.
It's a good point. You know, we want to take a risk. We want to do something that will push them to that next level. You play to win the game. But when it comes to Jaylen Brown and – I don't think this is what you see when we talk about Jaylen Brown, is they really see Jaylen Brown as something special within the context of this team. Maybe not as a pure talent, maybe not as just a guy in a vacuum, but ever since that draft came and they knew they were going to be up there in that top three, they really highlighted Brown as the guy they wanted. All you heard for weeks prior was Brown, Brown, Brown. And a lot of people talked about picking Dunn or one of those other guys to really try to appease another team or try to push a Jimmy Butler deal that was a hypothetical deal floating around out there. And all those different things that we're talking about now, we were talking about at draft time. But when push came to shove, the Celtics were fixated on Brown from the very beginning. That was their guy. They wanted Brown. They wanted him here, and they wanted him to be part of their future and now, as they're showing with him being in their starting lineup. I think Brown is a special kind of player for their system in their eyes. They've built something here. They're not just looking at players in a vacuum anymore like they were 2 years ago. Who could give them the most future value? Who could give them the most potential? I think they have something built here to compete now and in the future. And they see Brown as being a part of the system that can continue to persist and compete at the highest level for years to come. He's versatile. He has all the makings of being a great defender. Not yet, but down the line, I think he has the tools to be a great defender. He's a smart player. He plays within the system of the team. He's able to make plays for himself. He's athletic. I think he just brings a ton of tools to the player that if you really hone in on within a good system, he could be great. I think you see moments this year where you see Brown get a steal in transition and take it to a guy on the fast break or get to the rim at will. And he hasn't finished consistently, but those are the things you look at and say, in a year, 2 years, he may be able to do that consistently, and he's going to be a beast. There's so much potential with Jaylen Brown.
You should be Jaylen Brown's agent. You should be his agent. You should be his agent because I feel inspired right now. That was like the most inspiring like monologue I've heard about any player on the Celtics in years. Jaylen Brown
though?
might just be like Dominique Wilkins with some defense.
No, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
But the problem with what you're saying is that anybody might be anything. You have to some degree.
No, I don't agree with
guys,
that.
No, well, I can give you examples of guys who weren't anything. Like Baron Davis, for example, his rookie year averaged 2 points a game. Second year averaged 25. So there are guys who don't show anything early on and blossom into things.
It's
Celtics fans will remember
year.
A
you
guy
really
called
can't
Chauncey.
Base it off the rookie year.
Oh, okay. So then we have no idea how good Jaylen Brown is. Because right now, in terms of actual production, he's okay. But Jaylen Brown is not, you know, night in and night out showing like just crazy feats of LeBron-like things. Like, what do you think Jaylen Brown's feeling is? I hear Celtics fans talk about these guys, and it's not just Jaylen Brown. Like I said, they were doing the same thing about Jared Sullinger 2 years ago. Nick Gelso, maybe it was 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, on this very postgame show, Nick Gelso said he wouldn't trade Jared Sullinger for Kevin Love, and we had to get in an hour-long argument about that. This is what happens year in and year out with Celtics fans, is they overvalue their own assets, and I get it because it's a young player. He's theoretical. He's hope. He could be great.
Wait,
okay.
Nick Gelso said he wouldn't. Nick Gelso said he wouldn't trade Jared Sullinger.
Yeah.
No. Nick Gelso, who can't go a show. Anytime Jared Sullinger is mentioned, it's a joke about weight. It's a joke about, you know, conditioning. How terrible Jared Sullinger was. Actually,
well,
said 2 or 3 years ago that he wouldn't trade Jared Sullinger for Kevin Love.
To be fair to Nick, it was the 1 year where Jared Sullinger was in semi decent shape. It wasn't the next year where he came into camp super fat. But anyway, okay, that's really off the point here. There, the point that I'm making to you is, like, you can't don't talk to me about Jaylen Brown like he's a superstar. ESPN has this awesome, actually, and totally relevant to this conversation, lineup of NBA's rising stars. NBA players under 25. It's a ranked list of them, and it's pretty awesome, and it gives you a pretty good gauge of where the NBA, or at least, you know, their experts, sort of think that players line up. And they had Jaylen Brown as a very respectable, in my mind, 42. But he's not ranked as high as a guy like Marcus Smart, who's ranked 33. He's not ranked as high as Brandon Ingram, who's 25. All of those are totally reasonable ideas or sort of, you know, where a guy might be or what he's shown on the court. Jaylen to be in the top 50 is a totally valuable thing, and I'm not saying Jaylen Brown has no value. By the way, Nurkic was like 30th. I'm not saying that Jaylen Brown has no value or he can't be good, but Nurkic can be good, and he's probably, most likely, going to be better than Jaylen Brown. Now, it's possible that doesn't work out in my favor, but if we're talking about odds, the odds are that Nurkic will be a better player because he's already been a better player.
Well, here's the difference when we're talking about what guys can be. When it comes to Smart, when it comes to Nurkic, we've seen those guys for a few seasons now, and maybe they're going to add pieces to their game that make them better players than they are right now, but they're really not going to be that much different from what they are right now. Like I say all the time, I really don't believe Smart's ever going to be a great shooter. A lot of people have this image in their head that Smart's going to transform overnight, be a world beater, and just become this great shooter who turns into a superstar. Guys really are what they are at the end of the day, and you can make marginal improvements, but not a lot of guys are in the league for 3, 4, 5 years and just become something different overnight. It's a different story when you're a rookie. When you're a rookie, you hit a lot of road bumps. There's a lot of issues with adjusting to a completely new level of play, and once you take that beating for a year, guys can completely transform from year one to year two. And if you're giving up a guy in year one, when they're just getting adjusted to the league and finally, you know, putting what they have on the table, that's a very risky proposition because there's there's a decent chance, I think, that Jaylen Brown could come out after a year of getting adjusted to this league, put all his tools on the table, and really become something great. And I wouldn't put that off the table. And I'm not going to say a guy like Nurkic and Smart aren't going to get substantially better next year, because that's certainly possible, but I don't think it could be a day and night flip like we might see with Brown.
But that's not. But see, now that's not what my narrative is. But it's not that Jaylen Brown won't be a good player down the line. I'm not saying the Celtics should consider Jaylen Brown because he's going to consider trading him rather because he's going to be a bust and he's never going to make anything of himself. No, the reason I've been arguing this entire time, they're close right now, and Jaylen Brown right now in 2017 is not going to be a valuable playoff performer for this team. The way that Marcus Smart, a player that a few 30 minutes ago you called great, and you said finally he's great, and now you're saying he can't get better. So. Just want to make fun of you one more time for calling Marcus Smart great. But anyway, the point that I'm making is that you move Jaylen Brown because he has a value now. Yeah, he might be good down the line, but the timeline of him being good down the line doesn't fit in with the timeline of everyone else on this team. Maybe that timeline fits in more with whatever the next generation is of Celtics fans. Maybe that timeline fits in better with Fultz, but. I feel like you have an opportunity with this team right now and an obligation because of how well this team has played to follow that through. And to my mind, the most logical and prudent way to do that is with Jaylen Brown. And I'm not saying, again, trade him away for nothing. I'm saying trade him away for a 22-year-old center who's also good and could be good in the future. That's what I'm saying.
If you move Brown for Nurkic, the Denver's going to say yes right away. That's a deal that makes sense for them. It seemingly makes sense for the Celtics. But I think the Celtics are in a position where they can have leverage in that conversation and really push a better deal and try to get a steal. You know Danny Ainge always wants a steal in a deal, and he's going to try to give up as little as possible in that situation. And if I'm going to get a Band-Aid like Nurkic, that's what I'm going to call Nurkic is a Band-Aid because he makes the team better. You think he takes them to a new level? You think he puts them up on Cleveland's level? Because anything else is just
again,
a Band-Aid.
Again,
does he move the needle? Calvin,
yeah,
does he move the needle?
the Band-Aid argument, the next level, the move the needle, all of these are phrases that don't actually mean anything.
There are no levels of what you're giving up, though. If you're going to throw Brown on the table like it's nothing, you better be moving the needle.
No. But that's the point. Is that you're not giving up Jimmy Butler. You're giving up a guy who maybe, if it worked out luckily, could be Jimmy Butler. You have to look at things as they are. You know what I mean? That's the point that I'm making to you. Yes, you're giving up some potential, but you're also getting back some potential. You want to argue it's less potential? I don't even disagree with that. But the ratio of potential loss to potential gain for the present is a reasonable trade-off. You can't just say, if you want to just hold on to your assets, and this is probably what will happen, because like you said, Danny Ainge is only looking to win and dominate trades, and if he can't rip somebody off, the Celtics will sit there complacent. But when the Celtics don't make a trade, when they don't make a trade at the deadline, and I'm almost certain that they won't, I'll be the first person to come on the air and talk about how Danny Ainge missed an opportunity, and other Celtics hosts who host post game shows with me will counteract that and say, well, we just have to trust Danny Ainge. Look at, he's done so much, but he has, to be fair to him. But that doesn't mean he's not wrong about things all the time, because everybody is, and he'd be wrong about this.
Well, patience is a virtue sometimes, and I think when you're talking about Jimmy Butler. Well, if we're going to talk about a guy like Jimmy Butler, who right now is a home run, slam dunk, one of the best players in the league, his first season at 22 years old, he averaged 2 points a game. His second season, playing 82 games, he was just an 8-point-a-game guy. He was shooting 40% through 2 years in his career, and it took him 4 years to become the great player we know him as now. So with some of these guys, it just takes time. It takes adjustment. And if you give up on that potential, you're going to be punching yourself for years to come, and Ainge and the rest of the guys like you are going to be known as the guys who gave up on Jaylen Brown way too early and didn't let him reach his full potential. It's
for every Jimmy Butler, there's 100 non-Jimmy Butlers. Yeah, you see, again, the I don't want to trade Jaylen Brown because he has potential, and therefore no trade is worth. That's you're arguing from a position of fear. You don't want to trade Jaylen Brown because you're afraid of what Jaylen
Brown
might
No, it's confidence.
It's not confidence. Because you don't have confidence that the Celtics could be better if they made the right move. Maybe you don't like Nurkic specifically.
I have confidence
really
in Jaylen Brown. That's why I don't want to make the deal.
Yeah, but that's my point. Is like, you have confidence in Jaylen Brown, but what you don't have is, because it would be completely illogical, and I don't believe that you're this person, what you don't have is confidence that Jaylen Brown is going to be the difference maker in 2017. So since you don't have that confidence, instead what you have is doubt that this team could take it to the next level, take it to the max, get to the limit, ride the highway through the danger zone and make the right deal to get them over the top. And since they can't do that, since my team can't possibly be good enough, then I don't want to give up on Jaylen Brown because it's just not worth it for this pathetic Celtics team that just can't get past the Cavaliers no matter what they do. That's what you're tacitly saying to me because you have so much confidence in Jaylen Brown.
My confidence in Jaylen Brown comes from the fact that I want this team to be able to compete now and in the future, and I think he helps you minimally now, but the growth he's going to experience through this period helps you a lot in the future. That's what I'm saying on Jaylen Brown. Now, the one other thing I want to hit on before we get out of here is Serge Ibaka, because I'm hearing a lot of things about Serge Ibaka. The Celtics are one of the few teams connected with him right now. He's a free agent at the end of this season, so he might be able to be had for less than a Jaylen Brown. I want to hear what your thoughts are on Serge Ibaka, because I feel like that's going to be a guy we're talking a lot about as this trade deadline comes up.
Yeah, Serge Ibaka is a strange player in that, like, a couple of years ago, he felt like the way sort of Steven Adams feels now, right? Where he was just sort of developing all aspects of his game. He seemed like the prototype for the modern interior defender, a guy who could switch everything. And he's still sort of that, but my problem with Serge Ibaka is sort of my same problem with Al Horford, which is that, like, I don't feel like he goes 100% all the time. I look at Orlando's team, and, yeah, it's a weird team. And, yes, they play Vucic a fair amount at center, but I still feel like they should be a lot better defensively than they actually are. And I do like Serge Ibaka. It would depend on he makes sense for the Celtics. I guess it would just depend on the deal whether or not I'd be for it. But, yeah, trade him for Jaylen Brown.
You're going to send off Brown for Ibaka too, even though he expired.
I'm sending Jaylen Brown off in all trades from now on.
Oh, jeez. My thought on Ibaka, I've never been an Ibaka guy. I was never a huge fan of him in Oklahoma City, and as the years have gone on, he has really shifted his game for better or for worse to fit this modern NBA. I mean, he takes a high volume of three-point shots now. He's never around the basket as much as he used to be. So he's scoring more than he ever has, but he's also blocking less shots than he ever has too. So he's a weird player. I'll definitely agree with that. But at the same time, what strikes me about him is he's a very Celtics player. He just really seems like he would fit in the system. He's athletic. He's strong. He shoots the three willingly. And he's able to block shots. He was Serge Ibaka at one point. I'm not sure he's that guy anymore, but he's able to do it. So I'm intrigued by Ibaka, and I'm intrigued by the fact that he's a free agent to be in. Orlando's not going anywhere this year. So I really feel like you can get that best deal. Who am I going to give up from?
Give me the candy. Give me the candy. Who are you giving up on for Serge Ibaka? We got to cut to the meat of this. We have to have I got to look at his salary right now.
Marcus Smart. No.
I think you can pressure Orlando in this situation, and that's what I like about this. I'm going to give up Terry Rozier, a pick, and Tyler Zeller. That's the deal I'm going to do for him.
Yeah, the Magic are going to laugh at you and hang up. And I like the idea of trading Marcus Smart to Orlando because what they need is more guards who can't shoot.
This is just the aggressive trade team right here, all cards on the table. I'll tell you, you guys are the opposite of Danny Ainge and how the Celtics are actually going to operate at the end of the day.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. It brings me down a little bit. Because I want the Celtics to be good. It's more interesting to me. And I hate the Cavaliers, so I'd like for LeBron to go down. So for those reasons, it's sad to me that they're not going to make the move that they should be making, but whatever.
Anyways,
this is Jaylen Brown from Nurkic.
Yeah,
Jaylen Brown from Nurkic. That moves the needle to a championship contender. That's how they're going to get past Cleveland, is by bringing in Nurkic. That's just the answer to everything.
You just said the needle move just to make me angry. I know what you're doing right now. I'm on to your game.
This seems like a good point to call it off. Great conversation, guys. And this post-game show will be available for on-demand listening by searching for CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like the network at facebook.com/CLNSfans. Lots of great new content coming to the CLNS Radio family, so you're going to want to follow aboard for all of that. Also, this show on some select nights is available at ESPN Radio New Hampshire. You can follow them at ESPN NH, and their website is ESPNRadioNH.com/ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook for their Facebook page. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free now by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. And also Blue Apron. BlueApron.com/CLNS. You're going to get 3 free meals with free shipping. And our friends at Movement Watches, MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat. They sponsor our call lines. And boy, we had some great callers today. And they're going to give you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping. And a shout out to Audible, audiblepodcast.com/try. You get through a 30-day trial of audiobooks. We're all about giving here at the network. Lots of great opportunities for you to get some free stuff right here. I also want to give out a shout out to the Bobcast, which is coming back with more great content this week. You can follow that show at the Bobcast Show, and you can follow me at Real Bob Manning. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, just Nick Gelso, and my wonderful co-host who I had some great beef with today, Calvin Chamberlain, and our man behind the board, Nick Sacento, who always adds a little bit of flavor to our conversation and does the great technical work that we need behind the scenes. I'm Bobby Manning. We'll see everyone back here Monday night as the Celtics take on the Mavericks. This has been the CLNS Radio post-game show. Calvin, have a good night, my man.
Good night.